content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Cindy Fowler from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next half hour, I shall be reading to you from the Triangle Gardener magazine, Dave's Garden e-newsletter, the National Gardening Association e-newsletter, and maybe from Jerry Baker's terrific garden tonics. We'll start with Dave's garden website. When California was wild, it was the floweriest part of the continent, and that was said by John Muir. Seven veggies to plant in early fall for one last harvest by Laura Leavitt. From beets to leeks, you can keep eating off your garden well into the fall. As the late summer bounty rolls in, many vegetable gardeners are tempted to rest on their laurels. After all, with this many zucchini and tomatoes, what else could you need? However, September, October, and in some zones, even November can be lovely months to start a brand new veggie crop. The following vegetables are able to weather some levels of autumnal chill, and by selecting varieties that state on the seed packet that they are hardy in your zone of the country, you can ensure that you'll have a new, fun crop before Thanksgiving rolls around. Lettuce. Lettuce is one of those crops that, except for in the hottest of climates, can be grown in partly shady spots any time except winter. A new batch of lettuce will pop up quickly and can be harvested piecemeal by clipping leaves, resulting in a salad that looks like the baby greens from the store. This is true for other leafy greens like spinach or mustard greens. For head lettuce, you may prefer to wait a little longer for the entire plant to fill out. Carrots. Because each carrot plant yields just the one root, a good way to get carrots all season long is to reseed your carrot area whenever you pick and eat one. Aim for the loosest, fluffiest soil possible. Additions like peat moss and some vermiculite in the soil can help maintain drainage, which will prevent your harvested carrots from being spindly and small. As long as the soil temperature itself is not dropping too low, you can usually maintain a carrot crop. As long as you keep an eye on the carrot greens, you'll know if the carrot has been hit with a freeze. When those leaves go limp, harvest immediately. Kale. Kale is a cold hardy plant that just keeps on growing. If you want to use your kale for salad or to make kale chips, try to harvest as early as possible, clipping the leaves you want to use. The larger the leaves get, the tougher the stems will be, and there is more chance that bugs will get to them. However, even kale that is not picture-perfect due to factors like frost has great uses, such as making an unconventional pesto where you add kale instead of just basil. If you want your kale to get bigger and stronger, start it inside 12 to 14 weeks before the first fall frost. Leeks. Leeks are a great addition to autumn soups and stews and grow well, even as the weather turns chillier, so growing these in mild winters should be no problem. One thing to keep in mind, though, is to start them indoors in late summer so they'll be ready to transplant when cool weather arrives. Their flavor is actually accentuated by cold, so as long as you do not end up with leeks fully frozen into the ground, your leek crop can go well past an early frost. Beets. when fresh fruit is harder to come by, beets are a great crop for adding some color and sweetness to juice. Beets can handle some cold and can be directly sown as early as 10 to 12 weeks before the frost date. Consider covering them with a cloth or tarp if they are almost ready, but light frosts are happening overnight. Their greens are also edible, though do not over-harvest them if you want the roots to get big and tasty. Radishes. One of the easiest plants to grow in many different conditions, radishes grow quickly and can be harvested in rounds. Cold weather radishes are arguably the rounder, more delicious flavored radishes, since early radishes can be unnecessarily spicy. Make sure you harvest them on time, based on the mature date on the package. They get less delicious if you let them stay in the ground too long. Cauliflower. If you happen to hear this 12 to 14 weeks from your first frost date, start some cauliflower indoors now. They take quite a while to grow, but they can handle the chilly weather right up until that first light frost. Even if you are not fortunate enough to have that much time, cauliflower and broccoli have some fast-growing varieties that might be good options for the few weeks you have left until the first fall frost. Heads of cauliflower appear like beautiful, cloudy bouquets, livening up the garden as other plants begin to go dormant for the season. While finicky and never happy with lots of heat nor lots of cold, mastering an autumn crop of cauliflower will make you feel like a gardening champion. Early fall harvesting. No matter which fall varieties appeal to you, choose your veggies with careful attention to your zone's first fall frost, the current date now, and how rapidly these plants can grow. There is more wiggle room for spring crops, since some plants can handle a mild early summer, but a frost tends to be detrimental for many plants, so sneaking in these lovely fall crops requires just a little attention to detail and the ability to count backwards from that fall frost date. Enjoy your autumnal vegetables! And now from the National Gardening Association e-newsletter. Every flower is a soul blossoming in nature. That was said by Gerard D. Nerval. Fall Soil Building by Charlie Nardozzi. Fall is a great time of year to tune up your soil. The year's harvest is winding down. Cool weather makes gardening enjoyable. And many of the soil amendments you add now will have all winter to break down before your next planting. Vegetables, herbs, and fruits all take nutrients from the soil as they grow. Each year you need to replace those nutrients. It all begins and ends with the soil. The healthier the soil, the better your vegetables will grow, and the fewer problems you'll have. There are many ways to improve your soil, including adjusting the pH, adding fertilizer and soil amendments, and planting cover crops. By doing a little work now, you'll save time and energy in spring when you have so many other tasks calling you. Testing your soil. The first step is to test the soil to see if any nutrients are significantly out of whack. You can take a soil sample and send it to your state extension service office for testing. They will give you a complete write-up of the pH level and the levels of vital nutrients. You can also order specific tests for individual crops or nutrients. For a simpler evaluation, try the do-it-yourself soil testing kits. One of the easiest to use is the soil analyzer. Though not as accurate as lab tests, they give a quick glimpse of your soil's health. Fertilizer and pH. Once you have your results, you may need to adjust the soil pH, the measure of the soil's acidity/alkalinity. Most vegetables grow best in soils that are slightly acid, falling between the 6.0 and 7.0 range on the pH scale. Add lime to raise pH and sulfur to lower it. Another amendment critical to soil health is organic matter. Organic matter breaks down in the soil into humus, which is essential for soil health. Add aged manure or compost to the garden this fall, working in a 1 to 2 inch thick layer. This organic matter will feed the soil microorganisms, creating better soil structure, tilth, and water drainage on clay soil, and improving water retention on sandy soils. Fall is also a good time to apply organic fertilizers, such as rock phosphate and green sand, based on your soil test. To till or not to till? Traditionally, gardeners till their gardens in fall to expose overwintering insects, bury plant parts, and mix in soil amendments. It may be healthier for the soil, however, to be left untilled. Tilling injects air into the soil, which speeds the breakdown of beneficial organic matter. It also disrupts the air and water channels in the soil, leaving it susceptible to erosion. Tilling also can kill earthworms. So, what to do? If you have a small or raised bed garden, consider digging by hand. Remove weeds, old plants, and debris from the beds. Add compost and soil amendments, and lightly turning the soil with an iron fork to mix the amendments. If you have a large garden, tilling may be the best option. Just be sure to add organic matter before tilling, and consider mulching the whole garden to prevent soil erosion afterwards. Cover crops. Another way to add organic matter and prevent erosion is to grow cover crops. These are crops such as winter wheat, winter rye, and annual ryegrass that grow during the warm days of fall and early spring. Cover crops are seeded in fall, about 6 weeks before the first expected frost date. To plant cover crops, clean up old plants from the garden and till the soil. Use a garden spreader to broadcast the seed. Lightly cover it with soil and water. Let the cover crop grow until early spring, then till it under. Wait a few weeks after tilling before planting. The cover crop will break down and add vital nutrients and organic matter to your soil. Now from the Triangle Gardener magazine, this article is by Kit Flynn. What will happen to our gardens? I have reached a certain age when I'm debating whether I should, eventually, reside in a retirement home. And this has caused me to consider the fate of my garden. Endowed gardens, such as Longwood or nearby Montrose, will endure, although in different hands they, too, will change. But what happens to our respectable, endowed plots of land that we call gardens? Gardens have a habit of disappearing. Nature never gives up. Tastes change, babies arrive, and suddenly comes the recognition that gardens take too much work. Think about Mal Mason, the Empress Josephine's famous garden. This garden was famous for more than its roses. It served as a botanical park for scientific experimentation. The lady amassed collections of rare plants from all over. At a time when roses were relatively unfashionable, she sought to gather a specimen of every rose variety then in existence. In all, she collected over 250 varieties. Upon her death, the garden fell into rapid decline. Today, the Malmaison garden is no more. Sadly, I fear this will happen to our gardens. There are many reasons for this decline. Ours is a fast-growing area, where land suddenly becomes too valuable to sustain an acre garden. Gardens can also be costly to maintain. We have to lug in mulch, spread topsoil and compost, and then there is the constant weeding required. Plants cost money, and then there is the added cost of watering. With more people moving into the area, the demand for water grows, and that demand comes with a higher price. Now, none of this is bad. We simply have to face the situation head on. A friend of mine had an extensive garden that her builder plowed under when he bought the house from her. Why? He was not anti-garden. He simply explained that it is easier to sell a house with turf than it was with a significant garden. Of course, she was heartbroken, but the house did sell quickly. There are those who do not gasp with delight at the first sighting of a Camellia sesenqua in bloom, just as there are people who do not appreciate the first spring rose. Maintaining a garden requires dedicated commitment. Nature works against us, sending us innumerable weeds and catastrophic climate conditions. Think of those droughts and floods we have experienced in the last decade alone. The sad fact is that some people want the house, but not the garden. There are those who love the idea of a garden, but life has a habit of getting in the way. Babies and gardens do not mix. Both are time-consuming. Both are demanding. Sooner or later, something gives way, and it's usually the garden. Society deems that it is preferable to give up the garden before giving away the baby. Tastes change. I describe my garden as organized chaos. Gardens reflect our personalities, and the sad fact is that some want more organization than I deem to be desirable. We all like different colors. I dislike the color orange in the garden, but my replacement might prefer it to the pinks I tend to favor. And this is the point I'm trying to make. Future gardeners will change your garden. Just be thankful that they want to garden. Some will prefer turf, an incomprehensible predilection for those of us who relish every perennial. We regard our gardens as our babies. But there is a difference. We can and must at some point let go of the garden, recognizing it is no longer ours. But we never give up on the baby, even when that baby has college-age children. This is the pattern we call life. Now here are some garden events happening. Wild edible plants. September the 15th from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Learn about delicious, native, and invasive plants with Frank Hyman. There is a fee. This happens at the J.C. Ralston Arboretums in Raleigh. Call 919-513-7005. 919-513-7005 for more information. And a fall container garden design, September the 15th at 10:30 a.m. Tips, techniques, and plant selection for fall and winter container gardens. This will happen at Homewood Nursery and Garden Center in Raleigh. Call 919-847-0117. 919-847-0117. Outstanding plants for the home landscape, September 17th through November the 5th, Monday, 6:30 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. Improve your plant selection skills and knowledge about plants for the landscape with Bryce Lane. There is a fee, and it happens at the J.C. Ralston Arboretum in Raleigh. Call 919-513-7005. 919-513-7005 for more information. Butterfly Friendly Gardening, September the 18th at 7:30 p.m. Gardeners of Wake County Meeting, refreshments at 7 p.m. This will happen at the J.C. Ralston Arboretum in Raleigh. And History of Cultivation, September the 20th, from 12 noon to 1 p.m. with Josh Williams. There's a fee. Call 336-996-7888. 336-996-7888. This will happen at the Paul J. Senior Botanical Garden in Kernersville. And Caterpillarology, September the 20th, from 12 noon to 1 p.m. Join Mike Dunn as he shares secrets of the lives of local caterpillars with live specimens to observe. And it's free. It will happen at the North Carolina Botanical Garden in Chapel Hill. Call 919-962-0522. 919-962-0522 for more information. And an outdoor film screening, September the 20th, from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. View the documentary, A Plastic Ocean, refreshments, and a raffle. And there is a fee. This will happen at the Forest Theater in Chapel Hill. And the Hubs Farm Fall Festival and Corn Maze, located in Kent Clinton, North Carolina, September the 15th through November the 10th. Voted one of the top 25 corn mazes in America by Country Living. It's Eastern North Carolina's largest fall festival. 10-plus acre maze, a flashlight maze, Cranky the Combine Ride, animals, pumpkins, hay rides, lots of fall favorite activities, and so much more. It's open on weekends to the public and during the week for booked in advance educational field trips. You can call 910-564-6709 for more information. And some birding question and answers. Question: when should I take down my hummingbird feeder? Answer: a North Carolina hummingbird expert, Susan Campbell, now recommends keeping hummingbird feeders up all winter long. Some western hummingbirds winter in North Carolina, so you might get lucky and host one. Campbell says it's a myth that keeping feeders up in the fall will prevent our ruby-throated hummingbirds from migrating. They will go when they're ready. Question: what plants are bad for birds, and when is a good time to remove them? Answer: removing invasive plants is essential to creating a bird-friendly backyard. This fall, go on an invasive plant hunt and eliminate wicked weeds like English ivy, Japanese stilt grass, autumn olive, and Chinese privet from your yard. reintroduce native plants like Shenandoah switchgrass, aromatic aster, and blue-eyed grass into the ground. Question. I've been seeing giant flocks of birds coming out of our neighbor's chimney. What's going on? Answer. You're probably seeing a flock of chimney swifts. Twin chimney swifts used to roost in hollow trees or caves, but as those have disappeared, they adapted to chimneys. Sadly, populations are decreasing steeply as chimneys are capped or removed, leaving fewer places for swifts to nest and raise their young. To support swifts, you can keep your chimney open. Report any nesting or roosting chimney swifts you see, or construct a chimney swift tower of your own. And now from Jerry Baker's terrific garden tonics. Undercover Mulch Booster. After mulching your flower beds with wood chips, shredded bark, sawdust, or any other wood-based mulch, overspray them with this mulch booster to feed the roots underneath. Ingredients: 1 can of beer, 1 can of regular cola, not diet, 1 cup of a dishwashing liquid, 1 cup of antiseptic mouthwash, and 1/4 teaspoon of instant tea granules. Mix these ingredients in a large bucket. Then pour into a 20-gallon hose-end sprayer. Apply liberally over all of your flower beds to thoroughly saturate the mulch and wet the soil underneath as well. This will keep the wood-based mulch from stealing nutrients from the soil and, in turn, your flowers. As it gradually decomposes, your plants will stay happier and healthier with just one application. Rainy day mulching. Mulch can do great things for your flowers if you know the secret to applying it. The best time to mulch is after a heavy rain. Before the weather gets too hot, never apply mulch when the ground is dry. If you do, the mulch will absorb any rainwater that happens to come along and allow it to evaporate before it can soak into the soil. Are mice, voles, and other rodents a problem in your garden? Then avoid spreading winter mulch. A layer of mulch makes a snug mouse house during colder months, complete with crowns and roots of tasty perennials and bulbs for snacking. We've run out of time for today's episode of Out in the Garden. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you enjoyed it. I'm Cindy Fowler, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast at our website, trianglereadingservice.org. So long until next time. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138.